Gracious Father, we are grateful to you for this wonderful day your grace has made us to witness. Thank you, Lord, for the week that ended yesterday. We appreciate your blessings spiritually, physically, materially, your healing hands, your protection, your favors, your mercies, your blessings, journey mercies for those who travel, and all that we receive from you, we cannot count them all. But we simply want to appreciate you and we bless your holy name. Lord Jesus, we will ask this morning that you forgive us any of our shortcomings, anything that might stand between us and you. May your blood atone for every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings already in the Sunday school. We thank you for the worship service. We thank you for special numbers. We are grateful to you. We ask you to bless both the song leader, the users of instrument, Lord, those who sang special, bless every one of them. We want to commit the services of God before us into your hand. Dear Lord, we know that your fountain of blessings is inexhaustible. We just look up unto you that you will fill our cup today to the overflow. Meet every one of us at the point of our needs. Bless us spiritually. Bless us physically. Deliver us from everything that is contrary to you and your word. May your spirit move freely in our armies, O God. Help your servants. Help every one of us also. Take away weakness, tiredness, and whatsoever wandering of minds from your children. Lord, may we all receive the riches of your blessing today. Wherever the saints are gathered, we ask your presence to be with them. Those who are hookups, may your grace rest upon them too. May they be blessed likewise. Thank you, eternal Father. Lord, at the end of this service, may we have recourse to give glory and honor to you. Your servant that have gone to Pakatari, we pray your grace will rest upon him too. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
We thank you very much, O Lord, for your foreknowledge, your predestination, your choosing, your election, your calling in our lives. Thank you very much, O Lord. It is your own doing. It is marvelous in our sight. Father God in heaven, we thank you very much for revealing your mind unto us in this age. Thank you very much that you have brought us out of the destruction that's ahead. Glory be to your name. Our Father and our God, we pray that you forgive us of every shortcomings. Forgive us of our unbelief. Forgive us of our sins. Father, we pray that you grant us more grace from above to love you better, to serve you better, that the purpose of saving us while there were millions upon the face of the earth, individuals should have that testimony, that personal contact with you by revelation, that the night that I was saved, there were millions upon the face of the earth, but God saved me for a purpose, and I want to fulfill that purpose. May you help each one of us, O Lord, from the oldest of us to the least of us, give us that grace from above. Have your way in our lives. Have your way, Lord, this morning. Thank you very much for the Sunday school period. Thank you for your grace and for your servant. Just lay the things down, O Lord, our God, and say, teacher of the world. We pray that you grant the spirit of revelation and perfect understanding, that these things, O Lord, our God, will not be easily taken away from our heart. Let it be so, Lord. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for the song leader. Thank you for instrument users. Thank you for everyone at the post of duty, the deacons and the trustees, and the usher. Oh, Lord, we are grateful unto you. Thank you for those that sang special numbers. Thank you for the blessings we have received. To God be the glory. Father God, your servant is reporting for duty. This is the way you have been planning to love before the foundation of the world. May you help me one more time. Take me as a man out of the way. I need you as surrender myself into your almighty hands, O Lord. Please, Father, close my mouth, O Lord, to anything that will not edify your people, nor glorify your name, Lord. Help me, Heavenly Father. Circumcise my lips, O Lord. Circumcise my tongue, O Lord. Circumcise the ear that listens and the eyes that receives, O Lord. Give us the right discernment of ourselves as your word is going forth. Deliver us, O Lord, from resenting demons. Set our souls free, O fire, Lord. Let it be so, Lord. Father God, we pray every evil spirit that causes whatever destruction, oh Lord, absent-mindedness, we rebuke the spirit of the devil. Get out of the midst of God's people. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, help, give us victory, O Lord, over that demon that causes to sleep off or to doze off, O Lord. Let it be so, Heavenly Father. We need you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, our Master. Be with your servant over there, Bakatari. Use him to be a blessing to your people. Thank you, our Master. Bless missionaries in the field, O Lord. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost this morning. Save the lost ones, O Lord. Turn backsliders unto you, Lord. Heal the sick and the afflicted, O Lord, of whatever, O Lord, infirmity, ailments, O Lord, our God, sicknesses and this in the body. May they be removed, Heavenly Father, by the preaching of your word, Lord. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray with faith and with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. While we are here standing, let's find our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Exodus, chapter 4. We read verses 1 and 2. Then we go to the book of Acts. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me, unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not spoken, hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles, chapter 1. I want to read from verses 8 to 11. Acts of the Holy Ghost in the Apostles, verses 8 to 11. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they behold, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen. May the Lord bless his word this morning to our heart. Please be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Before I start the message, I want to say one word or two. I want you to bear with me, please. I don't want to be a hard man on anybody. Are you there? Are you listening to me? I don't want to be a hard man on anybody. You see, we are one another's keeper. Whichever way you see it, but if there's anything wrong, I believe you should make access to it. When I was speaking about people coming late to church, if the word is the word of God, it is the word of God. If you're offended, I will not say sorry. Let's just take it like that. I almost mentioned a brother last week. When the Bible was said that, look, when God called you into this feast, you feel elated. You are happy. You are enthused about it. You are joyful. There's something about it. Oh my. You want to crow about, concerning it. I was telling you, I almost mentioned your name. Because if I was speaking with you on phone, I said, I know that I asked you that, I said, brother, I said, you are joyful. I said, you are happy. He said, yes, daddy. Because God did something for him. May God help us. If you late coming to church has become part and parcel of your life, amend your ways. That's all I will say. Amend your ways. I almost mentioned somebody. Let me tell you this. What is good is good. And what is bad is bad. Before Brother Shefagbeso got married, he knew he has a responsibility in the church. Let's face facts. He has responsibility in the church. Sometimes as we are landing like this, parking the car, you see our brother coming. His place is foul, but he will be in church. A little after 7. Now he's married. You will see that maybe because of his wife now, begin to give excuses. No. Sometimes we meet them here. Sometimes, as soon as we are coming like this, they will just come in. May God help us. Each one of us, we are making preparation, That's what we want to speak about this morning. Some of us, sometimes correction is hard for us to take. Sometimes it has become hereditary. May God help us. So I didn't mean to harm anybody, hurt anybody. Truth is truth. And when I was speaking about that Brother Sam was speaking about people didn't come to convention. And I was telling you that I spoke with Brother Dave. It was when I went to Bakatari on the 1st of last month, which was Sunday. And I noticed some people didn't come. Then when we met, I was just telling you, you be their pastor, let me tell you this. So person was not around. So person was not around. So along the line in discussions, he made mention of something. Then my mind flashed back to the convention period. People that were expected to be there were not there. It wasn't because we are not because we gossip. So I want you to know that I didn't gossip anybody with our brother. I only told him this was not in church. This was not in church. And then in course of discussion now, then that one just came to my mind. What he spoke with me. So may God help you, George. God bless you. So I didn't mean to hurt anybody. It's my responsibility. I know I'm going to give account of myself unto God. Praise the Lord. And each one of us, we give account of ourselves unto God. Whatever I do with the word of God, whatever you do with the word of God. So this morning, by the grace of the Lord, the title of our sermon is Preparation. From the scripture we have read, God preparing Moses to go back to Egypt, where he ran away from the presence of Pharaoh. And he was in the wilderness for 40 years. We come to it. And he grew old to the age of 80 years. Then God met him one day. We come to it. At the back of the desert, in that burning bush. Then he had God making preparation also for the day of Pentecost. And he made mention here, Jesus himself. And he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I shall be witnesses unto me. Because he told them, go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Remember that they went and tarry in the upper room. Jesus did not tell them to go and stay in the upper room. It was because of the fear of religious leaders. That's why they went to the upper room to stay. Go and tarry in Jerusalem means go and tarry in Jerusalem. To prepare them for the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully called, they were in one heart. They were in one accord. Then the Holy Ghost came. God bless you. Now, I want to read this here. Paragraph 51. Bear with me. 53, 11, 11. That's the title of the sermon was preached. Well, it was every night the prophet preached. Sometimes he preached in the morning. Last week it was night. I mentioned morning. This one too is night. Just bear with me. Now let me read this. What I want to do tonight, by God's help, paragraph 15, please. By God's help, if he will let me, is to speak his word to you that will prepare your heart for the healing service. Now I want you to listen close. Now, preparation. Amen. Then the prophet started with this psalm. God, before he does anything, he always prepares for it. Amen. That's our God. Before he did anything, he always prepared for it. Praise the Lord. Before you and I came here, God has already prepared this heart for us. Amen. Remember that Jesus even made a wonderful promise unto you and me that you believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. That where I am, ye also will be there with me. Praise the Lord. And we are made to know that heaven is a prepared people. I mean, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. Amen. To you, students, don't forget that the woman said that if you fail to prepare to read, then be prepared to fail. That is to you, students. Whether you're in primary, whether you're in secondary school, whether you're in tertiary institution. To fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. Praise the Lord. As it is spoken in the Bible, before we go over to fight a war, first we have to prepare for that war. Thank God for the sermon that went for offices. Spiritual warfare. It's to prepare you and me for what you are going to face, even now and in the future. May God help us, brothers and sisters. That there's a spiritual warfare going on now, two powers, the power of God and the power of Satan. Is that right? The power of God, the power of Satan. Power to do right, power to do wrong. And God Almighty, by his mercy and grace, has given us a message. Remember, the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. And the material is here for you and me. There is spiritual warfare going on now. Praise the Lord. May God help us. And that's why Jesus gave a parable in the scriptures. Think of it. Who is a king that wants to go to war? He has 10,000 soldiers. And the other king that he wants to go and fight with has 20,000 soldiers. Will he not send an ambassador to make peace? Because he knows that he cannot be, with 10,000, cannot be able to face 20,000. He will send ambassador ahead to make peace. May God help us. We must prepare for this war that is coming ahead. God help us. If you are going to get married, why? You prepare for that time. Like our sister, no doubt. If you know what is going on in her heart now, pound it. One of these days, I'm going to join with my husband. One of these days, I'm going to join with my lover. One of these days, I'm going to join with this. Praise the Lord. Whichever way the address is, whether honey, whether sweetie, whether MG, that's my dear, and so on and so forth. But something is pounding in her now. Preparation is going on. The fiancé is preparing there. Herself is preparing here. Problem says, you must prepare for that. Amen. It's not the day before, or that same day, you say you want to begin to buy clothes now and to sew. If you are going to get married, you must prepare for that. And you must prepare that to know the home I'm going to. This marriage issue, you must prepare to face every consequence. Whatever I'm going to pass through, I'm ready by the grace of God to face it. Oh, yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God help us. And you have preparations. And before you come to church, you make preparations. Hallelujah. Yes. Before you come to church, you make preparations. I want to say, speak for that. That's why I escaped it. You see, and now before us. You marry sisters. You know you have to prepare food for your family, breakfast so called, that they will eat before you all leave home for church. Then the most one, the important one, the food we are going to eat this afternoon, because nobody, whether man, whether husband or wife, we want to stay empty stomach. Even the children, you make sure that you prepare something for the family to eat in the afternoon. Is that all right? The thing is, it depends on how you plan to prepare to come to church and not come late. But some of us, we have not yet gotten the revelation. That Bible says, if the church is opening, you know, the church starts at 8:30, let the doors be open 8 o'clock. Let people come in. You cannot jump in. I hope you are not running away from me. You cannot jump inside the service. Because the Romans said, come. When you come in, come to the altar. Kneel down. If you want to come to the altar, kneel down. Pray silently. Or you sit on your seat, pray. Not disturbing anybody. And then meditate. Listening to the prelude. Going on. Meditate. Is that the message? So you can't jump into the service anyhow. You can't jump into it. You will not benefit. May God help us. Before you come to church, you make preparations. Is that right? You see, it has become part and parcel in the family. And that has been about 40 years back. I used to tell them at home, at the family altar, that my wife now in glory, she used to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, go into the kitchen, start preparing, then at 5, we wake up, we have family altar. Then she continued. So the children of God used to that. That's Sister Derica there. She wakes up 4 o'clock or a little after 4. So that we prepare everything, we don't come late to church. Let me tell you this. The same God that we serve in at our church is the same God we are serving today. It doesn't change. It is you and I that change. May God help us. Listen to me. In the time of Kokori, 1993 problem, when there was no fuel at all, no taxi, nothing to come to church, pastor, we tread from UI to Mokola. From Mokola, then from Mokola now, he will now take a vehicle to Oshosami. That God is still alive today. We assessed at that time, we have to tread from Felele to Oshosami. Both going and coming. There was a time that they said we have to do vigilante by all means, the whole community. I was so sick, terribly sick with malaria fever. My wife told me that no, she was going to stay with me. I said, you cannot stay with me. We have to go to church together. I missed Sunday school that day. The pastor was wondering, where is this man? Only to surface. Why? Because we have to travel with this man with my condition. Church, may God help us. We should know what we are doing. We should know what we are doing. If you want to continue to come to church, keep coming to church. It's between you and God. You may not hear me say anything again about it. May God help us. So I'm not here to hurt anybody. But the woman is telling me, listen. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you plan your time. You marry sisters. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you wake up. I don't know how you train yourself. To know that on Sunday, we have to be early enough to church. I don't believe in lateness. You may believe in it, I don't believe in it. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. May God help us. Before you come to church, you make preparations. Then to the sick ones now, because he told us he was preparing them for word of faith for the sick people. Because there are people that are crippled, are lame, paralyzed people, all kinds of sicknesses there in the wheelchair and in stretcher things. You make preparations. The ambulance to bring you, or your loved ones to bring you, or you have to get a certain amount of money ready before you could call. It is preparations. Is that right? Oh yes, it is preparations. And let me say this to you. It is not the very morning that you want to come to church, you want to be looking for your wardrobe or your box. What type of dress am I going to wear? You don't do that. May God help us. Praise the Lord. You must make preparation a day before on Saturday. May God help us, church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just take that somewhere in your heart. Preparation. Praise the Lord. I want to drop this. Do you remember there was a man one time? He was having a short leg. The man said 2 or 3 inches, the leg was not balanced. But before he came to the ministry of the prophet, he prepared himself. He bought a pair of shoes. That yes, today and today, I am not going to go back home crippled. I'm going to wear this shoe. No, back home. It's preparation. Faith was in his heart. To know that, look, Jesus, if he had healed others, even if he has raised the dead, if he has opened the eyes of the blind, if he has seen, if he has given people with cancer, terrible diseases, today, I have got this shoe. Brother said, God will not disappoint a man with faith. It's not a disappointment, you know. May God help us, church. Hallelujah. Amen. And that man went back home that day with that shoes on his feet. Perfectly made whole. That's the God we are serving. I want us to take note of that. There is no incurable disease with our God. God is always prepared the people for the events that is about to happen. Oh, yes. Brother, the people are not saying anything. What happened? Well, that's 50. We are still on 15. 16 now. And may I stop right here just a minute and say, I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. It's coming. Amen. Why God have people here is preparing for that ongoing. There are people here also that are preparing for that Holocaust, that great tribulation. That's why the Lord made us to know that the bride of Christ, he said, before one bomb is dropped, the bride is gone. He said, because what? Before fire fell from heaven, Lot was out of Sodom. And he said, before a drop of water fell from heaven, Noah was already in the ark. May God help us, church. Preparation is going on now. God help us. Amen. I believe we are at the end. We are at the end. You can speak to people. You could put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States. They will drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes and laugh at you and everything else just the same. They are in preparation for the destruction that's ahead. May God help us. Even though the doctor said cancer in the candles, this smoking cigarette that you are doing, it's going to cause you cancer. People continue to smoke. God help us. The thing they are enjoying, may God help us. But a man said, when you smoke, when you drink, in your feeling, as we had in the Sunday school, your feeling life of living, unclean living. Let me say, I want to remind you, youth, students, what the man said, fornication is an unclean living. When you know you are not yet married, you have been buying for something. You know you are not yet married. You have boyfriends of all sorts. You have children, daddies of all sorts. Because of stinking, naira. Let me say this to you. Guess. Whether in secondary school, whether in tertiary institution, if you are fond of you, allowing boys to hold your hand or to hold you in the neck or to put his hand around your buttock, you are a fornicator. Oh, yes. May God help us. Oh, God. Oh, my. Each one is going to give account of himself or herself. After you have had this God-given minister, this God-given pastor, and then you still continue your foolishness, you are going to give account of yourself. May God help us, church. I know what I'm talking about. No matter how much you preach, whether hard or no hard, you will still see girls wearing moral clothes. Wearing moral clothes. Wearing moral clothes. We are in transparent lace that will be seen part of your body. May God help us. When I went on missionary trip the other time, my last service on that Sunday morning, the so-called sister didn't come to church Wednesday, Friday, on Sunday. How can I still see and close my eyes? Just bear with me. I called it out. I said, this is not Christianity. Say, look at other sisters. Look at yourself. It was later the pastor made me to know. Oh, my. May God help us, church. Let's move on. Praise the Lord. They are in the spirit of the last days. And God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. God never did destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. Praise the Lord. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. One was life, one was knowledge. The tree of life is Jesus Christ. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is Satan. And they stand side by side. Man left the tree of life to eat of the tree of knowledge. And the first bite he took, he separated himself from God. And every time a man bites off
of that tree of knowledge, he destroys himself. Let me say this. That when they say that, God will not judge you for being a sinner. Yeah. You are born in sin, shame iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me, said the psalmist. But my mother said, God has made a way of escape. And that is the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. So, it is because you rejected mercy and rejected God's plan of redemption. So that's how you, that's why he's going to judge you. May God help us, church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He beats off gunpowder, kisses his comrade. He beats off automobile, automobiles, all the tree of knowledge, kills more people than all the wars. He has beat off himself a hydrogen bomb. Now, what is he going to do with that? He destroys himself by knowledge. And knowledge always climbs so far and falls back. But this tree of life is endless and goes right into glory. Hallelujah. Don't depend on your knowledge. And don't never try to figure anything out that God says. God help us, church. If you could figure it out, that's try to understand. That's what it means. Papa said, we are not supposed to understand God. Just believe God. Simple. Don't begin to use your own idea of anything, your intellectual mind. Just take God at his word. If you could figure it out, or I could figure it out, or any other preacher could figure it out, we will be equal with God. And nobody on this earth can ever equal God. Because God does not change. You change. I change. Time change. Human being change. Government change. Nation change. Even church change. Preacher change. Only God cannot change. God ever remains the same. Oh my. Because it's infinite. You are finite, I'm finite. So never try to figure out God. Praise the Lord. Because when we can figure it out, it is not faith anymore. We've got to accept it by faith. Is that right? God said so. Don't know how. I can't tell you how he's going to do it. But he's going to do it. Because he's going to do it because he said so. Amen. If you say, I'm the Lord that healeth all your diseases. I'm the Lord that healeth all your diseases means I'm the Lord that healeth all your diseases. Bar none. That's the God we are serving. He forgiveth all your iniquities. He healeth all your diseases. And that's why there is no incurable disease with our God. He healeth all. Our problem is unbelief. May God help us, church. That is the basis. God is going to do it because he promised to do it. He is God, and he can't break his promise how it is. And some of God's preparations have been so ridiculous to the people who depend on the tree of knowledge. God's preparation has been absolutely ridiculous to the natural mind. Because the natural man can't conceive the things that are of God. And that's why we go then to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where Paul tells us that the things of God, the natural man cannot discern it. Are you there? Because he's man. And the things of God is foolishness to human being. He can't discern it. Because he has the spirit of man inside of him. May God help us. Yeah. Because they are foolishness to him. And he just thinks it is horrible to think, why will God do that? God help us. 20 now. Now listen, friends. And to you, okay, oh my.
I'm just trying to check this time. All right.
Now, God in the beginning, 21, my brother, when Adam and Eve, man has always tried to prepare himself. Oh, yes, sir. He tries to prepare himself. When he first sinned in the beginning, the first thing, you know, he went out and prepared himself an apron, fig leaves, wrapped it around him. He's making it. Now, the word religion means covering. And Adam and Eve made themselves a religion, a covering. But when God called them and they had to stand face to face with God, they realized that their man-made religion wasn't no good. And if you are anything short of the Holy Spirit, and death strikes your body, you will find out that that man-made religion won't stand in the time of death. Oh, don't tell me. That the prophet. I stood in the hospital, to the hospital and saw the doctors shoot hypos in the arm. And then when there was digging and everything else, that's right. Hear them scream and call to their pastor. You deceiver of man. Why didn't you tell me the truth? Now the problem here is referring to that girl. He was a Sunday school teacher. But listen, morally, it depends on the salvation that, you know, that it depends on the church to save me, to save us, sorry. But there was a young girl that attended Grand Tabernacle. Not because she, the way she dressed, she knew, she, there is something in that girl that had the word of God and was delivered and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this other Sunday school girl, he had the prophet referring to. We always make mockery of that girl that attended Grand Tabernacle. It's not because it is, she was attending Brother Manaku. God met with her in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If not because of that, your pastor, you see, you have a flat tire. You see, you the way your ear is well done, you know, reach your buttock and things like that. He said, pastor, no pastor. It is my God. My God told me I should not wear a moral dress. I should dress, in a moderate way. Something was in her. Each time she was making mockery of this girl, one day, death struck her. She was in the hospital, crying. And then, Sunday school class were there to pay their last respect. And then she screamed when they faced her like this. Call that girl from Grand Tabernacle. The pastor just funny. Smoking cigarette. They want to go and call the pastor. Call that girl. Hey, stop it. Call the doctor. Let them give you help. How will not do this thing? No way. You deceiver of man. Why did you tell me the truth? You are hearing the truth. God help us. Remember the story the pastor told us years back. I want to remind you. When they were far there in the 90s, in Agbowo, no, Ojo, they lived together in the same compound with a Roman Catholic man. Who remember that story? And then this man was sick. Instead of Pastor Hamba, they went to pray for the man. Now, the testimony that this man was giving was that he said, a day before, when there was a reverend man there, whether bishop, whatever post he had, when they struck him like this, he started screaming, oh God, hey, is this where I'm going? The angel in black has come to take him to hell. Hey, Hey, I don't know that this is how it's going to be. Oh, may not be too late for us. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We are not to jump with this message. It is life. It is where it is worth dying for. It is worth living for. Anywhere you are, in your community, in the school, in your place of work. I see girls walking in the bank. You will see men. No. They are mates in the bank. They will come and be putting their arm around them, and they are married women. I will never have confidence in so-called sister that will be working in the bank and will allow any other man to put his hand around her. That is why I used to say this. The pastor, far back in the church, he told you guys, I want to remind you. He said, any time you go to school and your teacher wants to put his hand around you, tell your papa at home. Okay, you are young. Some of you are married now. Did he say so? If you don't remember, I remember. How many of you can remember? God bless you. Praise the Lord. If any man, even your co-student, if anyone wants to put hands around you, tell them, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that kind of a thing. And if the man passes, tell your parents at home. The teacher will be dead weak. May God help us. Preparation is what we are speaking about. Bear with me a little. Hallelujah. You are the deceiver of man. Why do you tell me the truth? I will tell you. Robert said, it will tell when you get down at the end of the road. So the best thing to do is make preparation for it right now. Don't postpone your salvation till tomorrow. But the man was telling us in the sermon, Israel and the church, the first part of it, he said, some young boy will say, I'm still young. I will give my life to Christ later. He said, you are still young. Are you the owner of your soul? God can take your breath away from you, and you don't know. You must be prepared. I must be prepared. May God help us. So the best thing to do is make preparation for it right now. Get the thing straightened up. Get right with God. That is the word of God. Get right with God, though. If you are here as a young boy, be careful. God is long-suffering. He doesn't want any man to perish. That's why he keeps warning. He keeps screaming behind the pulpit here because this place is a sacred desk. This place is not a place of foolishness. That's why any man that wants to preach here must live right. May God help us, church. All these soap ministers, hugging guests in the church, it's uncalled for. It's unbecoming. No. You are making reports to the ministry. It ought not to be. That's why you guys must be careful. Don't be tempting the ministers. Ministers today are falling at the gate of women. May God help us. That demon must be cast out. So straighten up. Get there with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are moving. I noticed that Eve wrapped herself up in some fig leaves and Adam, but when it came time to face God, they were condemned. They realized that man-made religion wouldn't work. So when God called to them now, how true it is today, when God had prepared himself to speak to Adam and Eve, to speak to Adam, and Adam, in a man-made way, was trying to prepare himself to speak to God. But God had to prepare Adam to speak to him. Amen. So in order to do that, they began to pass the ball. Remember every cool of the evening, God comes down to fellowship with man. But when their eyes, when they see now, they found that they were naked. Oh, what is this? Then Adam took a fig leaf, covered himself, covered his wife. And they went and hid themselves. So God came now in the cool of the evening. He didn't hear any service going on. No fellowship as usual. What's happened? The whole place is quiet. Quiet. Adam! Adam, where are thou? I heard your voice. And I'm afraid. Oh! Have you eaten the one? Have you partake of the child not to take off? It is the one that you gave to me. Woman, why have you done this? It is nothing that beguiled me. May God help us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We all know the story. And before they could face God, because God loves his own children, remember that God didn't cause Adam. God caused the earth because of Adam. And put judgment upon Eve. That because you have done this, in sorrow, you are going to bring four children. Your husband is going to rule over you. Before then, they were co-equal. Listen to me, sister that I married. Your husband is not only your husband, he's your head. I know that one is too hard for you. You cannot rule your husband. You cannot talk to your husband anyhow. Listen to me. There's repercussion. If you're going to do that, you must repent quickly. Amend your ways. Don't just talk to your husband anyhow. Are you listening to me? He's not your boy. Not even if you senior him. Whether 1 year, whether 6 months, he see your head anyhow. Is that the word of God? I don't want you to reply. Whether you say amen, you don't say amen. The word of God is the word of God. I want to remind you, be careful. There's repercussion. In just talking to your husband anyhow, making your boy. Even if you are the one that is taking care of the family, you see your head. Praise the Lord. So be careful. And God called the serpent. God didn't ask the serpent, why did you do this? He said, because you have done this. Cause me you. Among God catches. And drugs shall be your meat all the days of your life. God caused this happen. Praise the Lord. And Bible said, before they leave, God killed a lamb in the garden and remove his skin and cover Adam and then cover Eve. Are you there? Yes, sir. Before they could approach unto him. Praise God. Amen. And then the woman said here, then when I can see, I can hear going down along the path through the Garden of Eden, something like this. Brother Branham, what is it? Bloody sheepskins slapping on Adam's leg as he went down. Then I could see all that gray space, less spaceless eternity, come forming down like a funnel to four little letters. N-O-V-E. He loved his children so much till he couldn't turn them away. Then I can hear him say, stop! I will put enmity between thy seed and the serpent's seed, promising a redeemer. God making preparation to redeem. Hallelujah. Now, let's stop here in the sermon just a minute. Let's go back 4,000 years from there. I hear a hollering mob in Jerusalem screaming. The people who are going on. We are sitting up now, looking down through a window. I hear something dragging on the street. It's an old rugged cross dragging out the bloody footprints of the bearer. Who is that going there? Why? That Nazarene down here. That fanatic. that divine healer. He's referring to Jesus Christ. Are you in the spirit? What is all the little red spots on his back? Look at that. All over his seamless robe, there is little red spots. And as we watch him going up toward the capital punishment ground, they begin to get bigger, 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 bigger. Directly, they all run into one big solid mass of blood. Then I hear something, and when I clap, he sang again. What is it? God's prepared lamb from the foundation of the world, going under to die for sinners like you and me. God making ready a preparation that will cleanse the heart of sinful men and redeem him back to himself. Hallelujah. God preparing, getting ready. No other way could be done. Amen. The blood that was shed in the garden with that lamb was only pointing to the real Lamb of God that was to come years, thousands of years later. But remember, this Lamb of God was slain before God said, "Let there be light." He was already slain. And he had names that were written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world. Those are the ones he came to redeem. Hallelujah. Sinners alienated from God. Hallelujah. Like the woman said last week, his enemies, he came to call them to himself. It's a wonderful thing. This great plan of redemption. Remember, the perfect atonement, that nobody can come to this Lamb except God draw him. Hallelujah. God preparing, getting ready. No other way could be done. How did he pull us? His way, sin. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to 29, please. Just bear with me on the account of time. How do you take a sinner like me and like you and make a Christian out of us? It's amazing grace. You can't fathom it. Everybody will say, don't try to figure out God. Can you imagine? I can't understand it. That is the greatest miracle that God ever performed, is when he took a sinner and made a Christian out of us. Glory to God. Look here. You believe that God can save anybody from sin? Because you've been taught that. Amen. He's still saving, you know, even right now, he's still saving. Hallelujah. Because you remember the story, he said, look, he said, the preacher preaches. Devil is cast out of you. Then you come to the other, you surrender your life to Christ. He's still doing it now. The door is here. May God help us. Well, that's a far more of a miracle than that man that was dead in trespasses and sin. That man is dead and he had to believe or remain dead. And then after you are born again, you become a son of God. How much more ought you to believe for a lesser miracle, for divine healing? Glory to God. If a living man ought to believe more than a dead man, see what I mean? You've got to believe it. Can't explain it. Believe it. That is all you have to do, is believe it. Amen. Watch. They're making a preparation. God making a preparation. The people say, well, now, but Abraham, when I believe, that settles it. Listen to the prophet. No! He doesn't. He does. When I believe, he settles it. No! He doesn't settle it. There has to be a transaction of God there in a confirmation of your faith, giving you a new birth. So you don't receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. We are talking Bible. The woman always said, look, it's so much stress in Seven Church book. It made us to know, brothers and sisters, that the Ephesian brethren, they believe. and were baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. And some of you are still here. You claim to believe. You never make a step. Where is your faith? Faith without work is dead. How can you say you believe and you don't take it? It means you are not yet convinced that the message is true. He said they believe. Listen, they believe wholeheartedly. And were baptized in water. And they stopped here. Are you there? Baby, the question Apostle Paul asked them is, have you received the Holy Ghost? Since. That is after, not when. Lying to Bago, don't you baby? Praise the Lord. Keep saying that to Bago, lying to Bago is clear. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, it doesn't. There has to be a transaction, okay? Okay. Now, I'm just so sick and tired of seeing people tumbling their way to heaven. You believe that? They will ask. Mm-hmm. You believe that? You believe that? But I'm saying that is a hitchhiker. A hitchhiker is somebody that will stay on the roadside. Wait a minute. Just want to have a ride. He wouldn't go to garage to take vehicle and pay the normal price. He wants to stay by the roadside. It is not. He's telling you, don't be that. Are you there? Listen. Brother, don't be hitchhiker. God hasn't got such a thing, such is as that. A man has got to be born of the Spirit of God, are regenerated and made a new creature, or he is lost. That's all. That is exactly right. We've got to believe it. We've got to accept it. You say, well, I believe. That's certain sin. No, it doesn't. I told you the other night that Cain was a believer. And I will give you a little stronger meat than that tonight. If you want to believe it, the devil is a believer. The Bible says he is. He believes and trembles. That's the only thing there. He believes and trembles. Because the Bible says, you believe that there is only one God. Satan also believes and trembles. God help us. All right. The devil is a believer. Now, if belief and faith is in God, is all you have to have to be saved, then the devil is saved according to the word of God. That's right. Listen to the prophet. But brother, it has got to take the Holy Spirit, a new birth, a regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God comes down and puts his spirit into you, then you are no more your own, but you are God's own. And we all know that Satan cannot be saved. Amen? He can't be saved. He rebelled from the beginning. Cannot be saved. That's what Robert made us say. Some people will say, Satan tempted me. Satan made me to do this. Lie against Satan. Satan made me to do this. Satan made me to do this. Robert said, it is not Satan. He said, it is you. It is you that go to Satan. He said, because why? Before Satan can become your brother, he said, he must repent of his sin, which he cannot. Are you following me? If you baptize in water like you are baptized, I'm quoting message. I'm be filled with the Holy Ghost as you are filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, because you are not really truly properly filled. God help us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, 32, please. What I think of God's great program, and to think that we poor, alienated, ungodly, undone sinners have the privilege of coming to the place and accepting Him and becoming His sons and daughters. Why? And it does not yet appear what we shall be. That scripture now. But we know we will have a body like His, for we shall see Him as He is. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Eating, drinking just like He did? Amen. Now, God in His preparation, but when God was going to destroy the world, before He destroyed the world, He sent for a preparation for the saving of the people that desire to be saved. He always does it. He shows mercy before judgment. And if men spons mercy, there is only one thing left, and that is judgment. And God don't judge you, you judge yourself. That's true. As long as you are under this spray of blood that is around the world and have a right, you have a right for mercy. The blood of Christ keeps God from killing you, or He will kill you just as soon as you sinned. Praise the Lord. Remember the experience what they had in that restaurant that day when he entered into it, and it's all sorts of rubbish, also worldly things, immorality going on. Even policemen that are supposed to be the law enforcing agent in the country, putting his hand around the girl. Boys playing slotting machine, all kinds of things. He said there was an elderly woman there, about 65 or something of that nature. He said, "It's as aged as my mother. Painted toenails, painted fingernails, leaves, and things like that, makeup on like that." And he said, his body is as flabby as anything. And yet, we are in moral short dress. Said there were two men with her. This one excused himself. This one excused himself. No, to go to the restroom. Oh! I said, "Oh God, how can you stand this kind of a thing? Is my daughter Rebecca going to be like this? Why not wipe away everything?" I'm being a prophet. God called him aside. When God called him aside, He showed him the whole earth. And he saw, no, God. He said there was everything he committed was just coming before God. And there was a bumper. That bumper is the blood of Jesus Christ. He will just catch it. All the time catch it. All the time catch it. Say, "Oh God, is that my sin that you know?" I catch it. I say, "Yes." "And you are condemning her." He left the place. I went to the old woman. "Excuse me, madam." The woman said, "Oh, sorry. I have a company." "Say, I'm not talking to you like that." "Say, can I just speak a word to you?" "Say, can you sit down?" Then the prophet introduced himself. "Ah, are you that? But the brother that told you me is here, yes." Then she gave testimony of her life. God can say to the uttermost. God can say anything, no matter how low. You want to see? That's why the question comes. It is the greatest miracle. It is a paradox. It was because God prepared that woman for salvation at that minute, at that hour, that spot, that day. Yeah. Jehovah, the unchangeable God, working in an unexpectable way. That's the God we are serving. Oh, then she gave her testimony. "My husband is a lay leader in the church. My two daughters, they are Christians. This one, that one, and things like that. When I married, this and this, and my husband died, I went to, you know, into all this, you know, moral way, like this. I don't think God can save me." He can. And then, when the prophet spoke to him, right there, the whole place was changed. "Madam, can we pray?" And while they were praying, the whole place was scattered. And then, God took absolute control and saved that woman that day. Remember the woman that the Lord God Almighty showed that, no, spirit that was spoken to the prophet. When he took him, no, I mean, beyond this cutting of time, a 90-year-old woman, like a tender age of 18 years, said she was converted under your ministry at the age of 90. Our God is great. So that's why we don't rule out anybody. There's nothing God cannot do. Until God, this breath is still in him or her, God can do anything. May God help us, church. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I can see little Noah. Oh my. Yes, sir. Sorry, bear with me. When God sent forth Noah, that's 34 or 33 now, was it strange? Never had rain. No water was only but beneath the earth. And an old man come out there, an old holy roller, with a beard hanging down like this, and got him a hammer, and began to build on an ark a boat. Could you imagine the people down in the city talking about it? Why? They will say, hey, what do you think about that rain story that old guy is telling up there? But he had the will of God. And he knew, he know where he was. And no matter what the world has, no matter how the world, how ridiculous it seemed to the world, God had a man he could put his hand on. And he beat the earth. The people laughed at him. That didn't stop him. He just beat right ahead. And any man that really knows the divine will of God is born again, they will call you a holy ruler. Fanatic. Whatever they want to, you will beat right ahead on the ark. It doesn't make a bit of difference. That's why you get ready for it. Hallelujah. And I can see the time. Noah said there was going to come a storm and a rain. Please, let's go to 36. And Noah continued to build. Remember, God taught us that a man will just get up one day from the farm and get his son with him. And they will just go to make mockery of Noah and throw rotten tomatoes at Noah. Nobody can bear that. It takes revelation. But Noah had God, what they say. He had the voice of God. He had revelation. God spoke to him. You and Noah found favor, found grace in my sight. Go and build an ark for the salvation of your household. Praise the Lord. He kept on building. And people were mocking him. They were mocking him. They were making jest of him. They were despising him. And the time came. He told him the specification, the material to use, gopher wood. The most lightest of all the woods in the forest. But he gave him the secret. Pitch it within and without. Amen. And that was the only ark that could stand the test of time. God help us. But the Bible says, others, they say, well, this ark, when it begins to rain, I will just get me, on a popular log. It is too late. But while this was going on, Thomas said, one day, there was a thunder that, like that. And then the male monkey, papa monkey, could just speak to mama monkey. Hey, get up, mama. That is what Noah spoke of. Let's get to the ark. The giraffe, all kinds of animals and birds, they enter into the ark. Male and female. Listen to the prophet here. The camel said, come on, two by two. That's 36, my brother. Went to the ark, led by the Holy Spirit. It goes to show that man hasn't got the gumption of a wild animal. That is common sense. Are you there? May God help us. Praise the Lord. That's exactly what's happening today. People today are mocking the message. People today are mocking the minister, the messenger. People today are mocking the people of God, calling them all sorts of things. That's why the prophet says, they are preparing for what is going to happen. God help us. Those wild animals heard the sound and took the warning of God by the Holy Spirit and went to safety. And today, man hears the sound of the coming of the Son of God and rejects and refuses to hear it. Amen. You know that is the truth, but God appearing seems ridiculous. I can hear someone say, well, if it does way, I will get on me a big popular love and right. But the big popular love song, everything that is not in the body of Christ will be left here. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They bought, they sold, they built, they do this, they marry, they give in marriage, and so on and so forth, until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the rock was shut. It was too late there. That's exactly what is going to happen. That's exactly what is happening now. May God help us. Praise the Lord. Jesus never asked this. Will I find righteousness? Will I find people that is living good, godliness, and righteousness? Is Jesus said, will I find faith when I return? Will I find it? That is the question Jesus asked. When the Son of Man shall come back again, will he find faith on the earth? Praise God. Well, faith without works is dead. Will I find somebody who will stand at my word and say, every word is right? I am not scared whether this one says so or that says so or not. I believe in God. And I'm accepting it. I'm standing right there. I'm standing right there on it. That is the thing. God is preparing a church today to be saved, just as he did in the days of Noah and Ark. Amen. And the body of Christ today is that ark. Praise the Lord. If I ask you, how will I get across the river Ohio River here? You will say, by the bridge. That's right. Everybody say, but by faith, are you saved? Christ is the way. That's right. Christ is the way. But how do you get to Christ? It's a question now. Are you there? Now, there is his body. The Bible says, not by one letter, not by one confession, not by one profession, but by one spirit are we all baptized into one body of Christ, which is already been judged, and we are free from judgment. We are just as sure as God raised his body from the grave, the church will go up just as he did. All that in Christ Jesus. Amen. How do you get into that body? By one Holy Spirit baptism, we all are baptized into one body. Remember, church, the body of Christ is not divided. Is that right? No matter. Look. Let's leave it. God help us. All this so-called division here, division there. This one gathering, group to himself. This one gathering group to himself. This one gathering group to himself. All of them will collapse. God Almighty is going to have one body. God help us. And that one body, it is only comprises of those that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God help us. Hallelujah. So that is the thing. And at the time came now, when the door, God came down and shut the door, animals have sensible to enter into the ark one by one. Best one by one. Because God told Noah, enough is enough. Enough of this jest. Enough of this making mockery of you. Go to the bush. Cry out to the animals. Say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They will enter in one by two. Go back again to the best. Say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Best enter in two by two. And then God shut the door. Take the key to heaven. So when the rain started now, All the ones that want to enter through their lungs and things like that, they all perished. God help us. Praise the Lord. God making a preparation for tonight now. How ridiculous you see sometimes. When God called Moses, in the hour of crisis, God making preparation 400 years. He had already spoken to Father Abraham that his children, you see, were going to sojourn in a strange land 400 years. And when the time comes, I will come down and deliver them. And the nation that martyred them, I will punish that nation. When the hour came on the dot, Moses was born. Hallelujah. God's preparation to deliver his people. Hallelujah. In the hour of crisis. And when Moses was born, the parents saw that, you know, he was a proper child. That's why they were not afraid of the king's decree. And they kept him for 3 months, and they could not bear it again. And then they built an ark, and then they put him in River Nile. But God cleared every crocodile out of the way. And God moved upon the daughter of Pharaoh to go to the river at that time to go and take his bath. And then he saw the ark floating. And he said that they should go and bring the ark. And they brought the ark, opened it now, like that. Oh, and the compassion of your mother came upon her by the Holy Ghost. Oh, this is one of the Hebrew children's. Hebrew mother's no child. My wicked father commanded they should be killing all those Hebrew children that are male. This one is going to be my own son. He will never touch this one. And Moses was taken to the palace. Amen. And he was kept 40 years. His mother taught him and made him to know he was born for a purpose, and that is to be a deliverer of the people. So when he was exactly age of accountability, 40 years, he left one day to go and visit his people. And when he was going, he saw an Egyptian maltreating a Hebrew man. And he took him aside, gave him one blow, that was the end. With his single hand, he dig the ground and buried him. The following day, he went back again to see if the people would understand him. As he was going, he saw two Hebrew people fighting. Ah, you are brethren now. All this suffering here is not enough for you. Why are you maltreating your brother? Yeah. Who made you a judge? A ruler of Aaron. You want to kill us? You killed Egyptian yesterday. Eh? The matter is known. Quickly, he didn't even get on to get another dress. With the same dress, he ran away. And he became a wanderer. And he was in the house of Jethro, the priest of On. Married, getting fine, taking care of the sheep and everything of the father-in-law. But one day, the God, who always remembered his promise, appeared unto him in the burning bush. Moses, as we read here in the scripture, he saw a bush burning. And could not be consumed. Why? This is a strange sight. Let me turn aside and see. And the Bible says, when God saw that he turned aside to see, amen. Then God talked to him from that pillar, from that burning bush. Amen. Moses, remove your shoes from where you are standing, for the place is the holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. I've heard the groanings of my people. I've heard their cry. I've seen them, their tears. And I'm come down to deliver them, and I'm sending you me. Whatever God has for you in life can never bypass you. Oh, yes, sir. It was Moses that God had in mind. And he prepared him for 40 years. At the age of 40, I said, could you imagine that old man now that become useless before man now? God met with him. And he gave me an excuse from the scripture we read here. I'm a stammerer. I'm not eloquent. I cannot do this. You are going. I'm sending you. The thing is, I will be with you. Amen. Then go ask him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. Amen. With this, go. Hallelujah. But I said, could you imagine the following day? He got to pick his wife, Zipporah. Put him on, put her on an ass. His two boys, one on one hip, one on the other hip. Moses, where are you going? I'm going to Egypt to take over. A one-man invasion. You, when there are military garrisons, you think you can do it? God said so. Hallelujah. But it is so ridiculous to a human being, but he did it anyhow. Amen. He did it anyhow. Because why? God told him he would do it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. Remember, sir, bear with me. 47. 47, please. Moses is going to take over. How ridiculous. But he did it. Why? God said so. That was the difference. God said so. Now, what is that in your hand tonight? This morning as we are speaking, listen to the prophet. Well, you say, Brother Abraham, hardly get enough faith to get out here. One time, there was a little boy came to Jesus. The whole 5,000 people there were hungry. The little boy had 5 loaves, 5 biscuits, and 2 or 3 fishes. Wasn't very much in his hand. But when it once got into Jesus' hands, it fed 5,000. See, while it was in his hands, it was just a few biscuits. Could hardly feed himself. But in the hands of Christ, it fed 5,000. That little faith that you've got tonight, just enough to get you out to the church, turn it loose. Put it in his hands and say, Lord, I don't care if they call me back holy roller or backwash, whatever they want to. I'm accepting the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. God, kindle a fire in my heart. Let me conform. Watch what it will be by an hour from now. You will be going down the street singing, I got the old time religion. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, the whole country around here knows something happened in this tabernacle this morning. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait. Listen, you don't have to wait for the Holy Ghost to come. It has been here 2,000 years. It is God is waiting for you. You are the one that is delaying. It has been here since Pentecost. Are you listening? Listen. Why Peter yet spake this word? The Holy Ghost fell on them that believed. The waiting was just for the day of Pentecost to come. As Pentecost come, so God is now waiting for you. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here already. He is even standing by your side. Or sitting by your side, ready to fill you when you open up. God help us this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh man, I wish I was twice my size. Maybe I could feel twice. Good. Look, but I'm sure feeling good at my side. Amen. Are you getting the message this morning? Oh yes, sir. The Holy Ghost is here already. You don't need to wait for the Holy Ghost. He's waiting for you. Amen. God is going to fill his own believing children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But let us take another man, Shamgar. Shamgar in the Bible. Just one verse. I believe Judges chapter 4, verse 31. And Shamgar also judged the people. But Abraham said, because of your sin, and the Bible says, because of your sin, God saw the children of God to the hand of the Philistines. They will farm all year round and gather their harvest. Oh, but by the time they finish now, the Philistines were waiting. Yeah, yeah, they will come and just carry everything away. And the people of God were starving. Oh, but one day, this man Shamgar, one man said, you might not have read so much about it. Only one verse in the scripture. One day, Shamgar, he labored so that his family will have something to eat the following year. Because he looked at the wife, all tattered, dressed, torn here and there. The children were lean. Oh, their eyes are suddenly sunken because of poverty, because of hunger. And the time they harvest their thing now, this wicked Philistine uncircumcised, they will come carry away everything. But this time around now, oh, my wife, my dear, oh, we thank God this year. God has blessed us. We have this bumper harvest. Yes, we are going to have plenty of food to eat next year. We are not going to serve anything. But then he was talking now, oh my, he looked through the window. Tom. Who are that? Who are those? The Philistines are coming. Again. Papa said, that's how it is. After you have labored, let me read the prophet. Praise the Lord. All right. What? Yeah. Amen. Excuse me, please. Yeah. Okay, I didn't put this one down here. All right. Oh, my. I'm sorry. Bear with me a little. Sorry, right here. Yes. I'm coming. All right. Let's continue anyhow. Praise the Lord. Don't confess. Oh my. It should be Samson. I'm sorry. Let me bring in Samson first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Samson. He was born for a purpose. We all know that. So that he can burst the Philistines. They have been ruling the people of God for years. And when Samson was born, he had what do you call it now? Covenant. He has seven laws on his head, which was a secret to him that must not be leaked out. And then he was born for a purpose. God was preparing him. When he grew up, he was going out one day to see his girlfriend. He just got into a yard. When he went to a yard, a young lion just roared at him. But the man said, I don't believe in these people that we draw the picture of Samson like this, as if to say his shoulder is as wide as that piano there. The man said, there's nothing about that. If his shoulder is as wide as the line from here to that piano there. I said, well, he could take a lion and tear it to two. Say, but the thing is this, he was helpless. Until the Spirit of God came upon him. Are you following me? Oh, yes, sir. So he tore the lion to two and he went away. Another time now, When the Philistines got him hooked in one night, and he got up early in the morning, said, "Hey, we are going to kill this boy. We are going to kill this Samson. It's too much for him." As he was going, he just got to the gate, found that the gate was locked. And the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. Read the scripture. And he just took the gate this way, shook it this way, shook this one this way. Follow him. I'm going to commit suicide. They know better. Both pillars, thick, bar of iron, brassy gate. 200, how many pound weight? The Obey described it. Bible said, follow him. He just carried it on his shoulder. Because the Spirit of God was upon him. Nobody could follow him. He just carried like that. And went and climbed the mountain, threw him away. One time again, because why? He was in the will of God. And then, one time again, they were led him. 1,000 Philistines armed to their teeth. Remember, with their helmet is brass. Coat of mace they put on. But because God was with him, he looked at him, he looked here, he looked there. Oh, what was he going to do before a thousand of people? And the Spirit of God came upon Samson. You look at him there. He just saw the jawbone of a mule. He took it. The first one, bam! The head sank it. But the man said, just one leak, bam like that, is enough for the jawbone to scatter into a million pieces. But remember, the Spirit of God was upon him. Preparation. Oh my. Bam, 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 bam. No spear. No sword. The spear and the Spirit of God came mightily upon Samson. The scripture will say, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon Samson. You could imagine. It's enough now. They surrounded him. But one of them is enough to just use the spear to shoot him. That was the end. But the power of the Almighty God arrested them all. Oh, yes, sir. Because what? The Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson. He killed this way, he killed that way. He finished 1,000. And he was thirsty. He threw it away. Oh Lord, don't let me fall into the hands of the Philistine. And the Bible says, God cleared a hole in that double. And water came out of it. And he drank and he was revived. Hallelujah. God help us. This is. The Spirit of God came upon him and he grabbed that jawbone of a mule and slew 1,000 Philistines. Hallelujah. 51, my brother. There is more than a jawbone of mule laying next to you this afternoon, this morning. That's right. Let's get up and do something about it. Let's forsake this whole curse. Forsake your sickness. What he said. There are no curse here. Curse. To put sick people. Forsake your cords and sledges and wheelchairs and crutches and say, I believe it belongs to the devil. Tell Satan, this sickness belongs to the devil. I have no more to do with it. Papa says, say that to yourself. That's right. I claim Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ what? Right. Live or die, I am with thee. That's right. Toe the line with God. Amen. Claim your God-given privileges. And the devil hasn't got any privilege. He hasn't got one legal power over any believer. No legal power. Amen. He was sick and robbed at Calvary. Jesus Christ robbed him of everything he had and gave every believer a checkbook with his name signed on the bottom. whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Your personal property. Dare you to sign your name to any check or there or fill it out? No, I need healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And use that name of Jesus and stand back. Hallelujah. The whole bank of heaven will declare righteousness. That's right. Sure. Oh, but brother man, we've got such great hospitals. What have they done for you? Huh? Are you already reading? You heard what Prophet said? Let me read again. Oh, Brother Abraham, we've got such great hospitals. Teaching hospital is there. Specialist hospital is there. General hospitals are there. Even private hospitals are there. Psychiatric hospital is there. What have they done for you? The hospitals are all right. Doctors are all right. But what about you? God gave you, as a believer, the checkbook. Sign it. May God communicate to us. Glory to God. That is Samson. So, Shanghai we are speaking about. May God help us. During those days of the judges, but one said, there was no king. Everybody do whatever they feel to do them on their own. Nobody can query them. No cooperation. They couldn't get together. Oh my, is that not serious? People go. So every man did what he thought was good in his own sight. That is the secret. That's the reason the Philistines come in and got there. Now, if you want to get Christians, we forget all your differences and come together as Christians. Also, we can do something. Our God will come to us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, but here was no Shamgar, a lady. He wasn't even a judge. He wasn't anybody. He was just a lady. But this one happened to him now. While he was seeking on this thing, only one thing he had at home. While he had tongue, the gallop of the horses of the Philistines were trained and well armed with their spears and all. And so they were ready to carry away everything that Shamgar had. They know now. God help us, church. Listen, that is the way the devil does. Just about time you get your church fixed to a place and you say, well, now I'm just getting along fine. We are having a real old time revival. The devil is sleeping in some old crazy idea. They will say, you know, them people just about crazy. All that stuff. There is no such a thing to eat. Because Dr. So-and-so said there was no such a thing as that. God help us. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's move on to 50. Let me see. Bear with me, I'm just cutting it short. All right. This Philistines were warriors. 58 now. Little down. The last something. Little Shamgar stood there and thought, well, I am no soldier. I don't know how to fight. I don't know nothing about it. To you, only holy people. 59 now. His righteous indignation got up. I hope yours does this morning. Get up against evil. Get up against that old wheelchair. But the man said, what is your Philistine? Is that sickness? Is that disease? Amen. Anything you want to call it? Whether stomach ulcer, whether this one, whether that one, you know, they are the devil. Get up against them coaches. What is the devil? No, what the devil stalk them on? Don't have to have them. No, sir. They don't know. They don't belong to you. Amen. Christ said, should not this daughter be loose on the Sabbath day? Would no be bound with the devil in all these years? Do you get that statement? On the Sabbath day, an old man that was bound by the devil with his back bent like this. And Jesus saw her. Look at the Pharisees. Is it right to do good on the Sabbath day? Because you are watching him. Whether he was going to heal on the Sabbath day. Then he asked the Pharisees, religious people, is it right to do good on the Sabbath day? See that this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Just turn her loose. And the woman was healed. That's what Jehovah is telling you and me now. Are you there? You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. There is no need for Satan to continue to torment you. Amen. But up to you. It is going to be up to you. Praise the Lord. So Shamga now is indignation rose up within him. And the only thing, when he heard the sound of the steps of this Philistine, with this holy anger now, he just jumped through the window. And he took this osgo is what they used to pinch the cattle so that they can walk well. Are you there? That was all. And he killed 600 Philistines. May God help us. 69, down now. You know what a horse goat is? It's an old stick that has got a big grass hump on it. They push the deck or the plow and sometimes and push the cattle through the gate with it. That's all he had. But brother, he was sick and tired of the Philistines coming, taking what he had. Oh, my, aren't you tired, mother? Aren't you tired, sister? Sick and tired of the devil telling me that I can't walk, I can't do this, I can't do that. God bless your heart. All things are possible to them that believe in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No matter, I'm Shamgar said, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm not a warrior. The horse is against me. No matter how much horse is against you, God is for you. If you take his word. Amen. Yeah, there's only one thing. I know. I'm circumcised. I'm an Israelite. That is an uncircumcised Philistine. I know I am right. I'm a child of God tonight. Amen? Or this one now. And I know diseases come from the devil. And I know God promised me victory. Brother, your message is there for you. Hallelujah. Brother, I wish you felt like I did right now. Yes, sir. I feel awfully good. Look, it is my God-given privilege. Yes, I'm still tonight. Amen. Is right, okay? You don't want to repeat that. Come down to 72B now. And if tonight you are circumcised with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to wait till you are trained to be a warrior. God bless your heart. Claim your God-given privilege. And beat them and beat themselves heads in. Amen. That's right. Say, get out of the way, Satan. Kick him out. And kick him out of the way. I'm the guy that is taking over now. I come in Jesus' name. Watch him scatter. Brother, when you use that faith on him, he will back up. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me see. Oh my. Hallelujah. Ah, there is something. There is something. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me drop you this. 68 again. Yes, thank you, Lord. If God said be okay, if God saved my soul, I took it by faith and believed that he did, and God gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost in confirmation of it. If I stand and take him as my healer, when my young brother told me I had a few hours to live, I took God as my healer, and I got the confirmation of it tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Take him at his word and believe it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We are closing there with me now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to give one more comment. This Philistine still uncircumcised, having the rulership and dominion over the people of God, God's own heritage. There was one of them, Goliath. He was their champion. And they war, they besieged Israel. And Saul and his army were there on the mountain. And this one, Goliath and the Philistines, were on the other mountain. There was a valley beneath there. And this man will come out every day, every night, and boast, let us not waste lives. You just choose as one man. Am I not a Philistine? And you are servants of Saul? They were not servants of Saul. They were the servants of Jehovah. They were not the host of Saul. They were the host of the Almighty God. Only sin made them to be so fallen, the condition they were downgraded because of sin. They forgot God. They let go. They disobeyed God. He will boast himself. Remember, said, that is how Satan used to do. When he knows that he has got the edge over you, he will make mouth. He will bluff you. Enough of Satan's bluffing. God is our God. Amen. He was boasting day and night. But God making preparation. God was sending David. And one day, Papa God moved from Papa Jesse and told David, the youngest of the family, please, I want to send you a message. Can you take some cheese and some milk and some bread? Go and see your brothers at the war front. How are they friends? Give this one to their captain and then give this one to your brothers. And he went. When he was getting to the place, he left the carriage with the driver. So he got to the camp now. He was just greeting there. Ekushesa, Ekushesa. I said everything and things like that. And then Goliath came out. Are you not ready to respond to my challenge? I said, choose you, woman. Am I not a Philistine? Let us not waste life. Choose one man out of you people. If you kill me, we all serve you. If I kill me, you will be our slaves. Oh my. And David had. But the man said, he had been boasting day and night. But now he boasted in the ears of a wrong person. Oh God, thank you, Lord. What? What am I hearing? You, these people, are you not ashamed to let this uncircumcised Philistine boasting over the army of the living God? I will go and fight it. By the way, what is going to be done to the man that will kill this man? Oh, the king said, His father's house will be exempted from paying tax. He will be the king's in-law. David was not after popularity. David was after how to take away this reproach. from the people of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here to take away the report from you and me. Amen. When the brothers are, they say, you, this stupid boy, you have come to just see how the world is going. With whom did you leave those few sheep? Get away. I'm going to report you to daddy. Is there not a cause? Brother, whatever, whatever. Is there not a cause? You come to the people, daddy. Tell me again. What is to be done to the man that will kill this man? Then they repeated, I'm going to fight it. What? They look at the boy, very smallish in stature, but there was something in him. Remember, he had been trained at the backside of the desert, taking care of his father's sheep, because he wouldn't love to lose one of them. Oh, glory to God. That's why the woman said, David the shepherd, he wouldn't want to lose any of the sheep. Then, they took him to Saul. Look at him from head to toe. Oh boy. This fellow, he has been a warrior right from his youth. But you are just a scrawny boy. You cannot fight him. Don't worry. Listen to me, my testimony. My father gave me charge over the few flock, the sheep. One day, a bear came, grabbed one of the sheep. I went after him, I slew him. But the Bible says, when God saw the courage of David, he raised up the power of the animal. He sent in a lion. And before he said, Jacob, 12 men are already dead. Only to roar, the blood inside will be congealed. That's all. But when the lion came and grabbed the lamb, he said, I went to after him. I smote him. And when he turned against me, I took him and killed him. The God that delivered me from the hand of the paw, of the bear, and the lion, he will deliver me from the hand of this fellow circumcised Philistine. Let me go. Okay, before you go. Don't just go like that because you have nothing with you to fight. He dressed him from head to toe with his coat of mail and everything. David took the first step, he couldn't go. Second, he couldn't go. Take this away from me. Baba said, ecclesiastical dress is not sufficient for a man of God. Amen. No time you have to give me a testimony about the old woman who sent his son to seminary. Remember, we say cemetery. He said, they are both the same, both cemetery and seminary. He lay on Kuli Wugomo. Hallelujah. And the mother was sick, died of pneumonia. And the boy was sent, no, prepare yourself. Your mother is going to die. And a wonderful sister from a Holy Ghost filled church like this came around. Mama, I learned you are sick. We need to pray for the sick. Oh, is it in the Bible? Oh, yes. She showed me. She showed her. Oh, if it's in the scripture, okay. Okay, I will tell the pastor to come and pray for you. And the pastor came. Read the scripture. Oh, is that? Then she was prayed for. And he was healed. When the boy came back the following year on holiday. Oh, mama, the other time I even forget to ask you. You sent for me that you are dying. Later I didn't hear anything. I should stay. What did happen? Oh, do you know that mission over there? Those only roller people. The woman around neighborhood sent the pastor to come and pray for me. And they read Mark 16 from verses 9 to 20. And anointed me, prayed for me, and I was healed. And I said, hallelujah. Oh, mama. You of all people. We were taught in the seminar, in the cemetery, that Mark 16 from 9 to 20 was not inspired. You must say, hallelujah, praise God. Ah, what? Mama, what's wrong with you? Listen to me, son. If God could hear me with an uninspired scripture, how much more is the one that is inspired? The word of God is inspired from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 22. Amen. Let God be true and not let be liars. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. You want to become a Pentecostal? No. Like that. That's what we are saying here. But man said, David, he removed his something. And he went. He just went to the valley, took five smooth stones, picked one. That is faith in Christ Jesus. And that is F-A-I-T in J-E-S-U-S. But man said, he put God first. He knew where he was standing. Oh, help me, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He knew what he was talking about. Hallelujah. He had God behind him. Amen. He knew the anointing oil was poured upon him. Samuel had done it. He knew he was anointed. So nothing is going to bother him. What is the matter with you anointed people? God has done pour the anointing, the Holy Ghost oil on you. You are anointed. You've got the privilege. Amen. So David took God at his word. He put God first. Then he said, he went. When he got his five stones, he came facing Goliath. He did not say they are same. We are come. Come. And then just like, no. He faced Goliath. Are you there? He faced him. What? Am I a dog? Before he knew he was a dog, it was too late. That you come to me with this thing short, today, I'm going to cut off your hair and hang it to the best of heaven. David said, he called him in the name of his gods. David said, you come against me as a Philistine with sword and spear, but I come against you this day in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, this son of Philistine will know that man, God, does not fight with spear and sword. Today, I'm going to give the head of all Philistines and your head to the best of the heavens. And your bodies to the God of heaven. And he went. When he took the something, he just started flinging it, and he released it. When he released it, Brother Bram said, so that to any visitor here, our prophet said, it was the Holy Ghost that directed us to the only space upon all the dress, coat of mails, a weary. Now, the Holy Ghost directed us to straight. Amen. That is why, my brother, my sister, Brother Bram, when he finished preaching one day, he said, oh God, let the Holy Spirit direct your word to the appropriate heart of the sons and daughters of God. I believe he's doing that, you know? Oh, yes, sir, preparation. Amen. Oh God. Thank you, Lord. And Goliath fell. Come on, boys. And there you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is God's preparation time. God is preparing a people. And if you can't have faith to heal the sick, to heal the sick body, how are you going to have faith to raise it up in the last days? Glory to God. It is his preparation time. Amen. You believe it is the preparation time? Don't notice your age. Don't notice the circumstances. Faith knows no age. It knows no age limit or circumstances. Faith knows one thing. God says so. And that settles it. You believe it? 9 years old, not be me. What is it? You believe it? Come on. Let's bow our heads. Who is the sinner man here? Who is the sinner woman? Who wants to receive the Holy Ghost baptism here in this audience this afternoon? God's work cannot be done unto you, boy. Think of it, my brother. God bless you. You are not coming to man. You are coming by the invitation of the Holy Ghost to you this morning. It is not the man. It is Christ calling you, my brother. Calling you, my sister. Whatever is your need, he is here to give it to you. Holy Ghost baptism, receive it now. Thank you. Preparation is going on. Think of these things, my brother. Think of these things, my sister. You came by Holy Ghost conviction in your heart. Not a man. You come to the altar to meet your maker. And you that on your feet, God is here to meet with you. Oh yeah, he can't fail you. Faith is no disappointment. God's word is true. Let's appropriate that faith this hour. Think of it, your sister. You leave the rest in the hand of the Almighty God. Don't leave this place now. I beg you for Christ's sake. Without meeting God in your soul, baptism of the Holy Ghost is a reality. Your healing is already paid for. Your salvation is already paid for. Oh my. Think on these things. God bless you. Thank you, sir.
Will you commit yourself to God? Close your eyes. The highlight of the message of the hour is the Holy Ghost baptism. That's the very reason why we are called out of denomination, we are called out of unbelief, we are called out of sin, we are called out of that, all kinds of wayward life. That's the very reason why we are called out. Anyone without it, we miss the rapture. Anyone in the message that come around without the Holy Ghost is just an escort in this journey. The answer to everything in this life is the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ. That's where resurrection lives. That's why Christ came to die, to make it possible for us to have his life. Before he came, man was in full defeat. Satan was having preeminence in the life of man. Even the Old Testament says they were held down there in paradise. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. We don't need to make any further requests again. Many at the altar, majority are praying. Maybe those that doesn't know why they're in church today might be sleeping. But God has his target for every service. And those whom he intended for this service, definitely they can't miss the blessing. If there be anyone in the audience that still want to be remembered in prayer, will you lift up your hand as we commit ourselves to God? Our gracious eternal Father, we want to thank you very much. Lord, we could say that you answered our request beyond our ability to pray. Thank you very much for your word that has gone forth in power and demonstration of your spirit. Preparation. Lord, your grace upon the prophet of this hour. Lord, to go into the scripture by inspiration and paint a picture that no other person could do in the realm of the fivefold. Oh, we thank you, God, also that in your divine wisdom you cause them to be stored and we have them. Lord, coming afresh again this day, Lord, it has met the need of the hour. Thank you for your sons and daughters, the altar. Lord, these are people that knew that this is not a place of frolicking, not a place of showmanship, not a place, Lord, to prove spirituality or anything. Lord, mortals that knew why they are in church, that they have come to check up with their soul salvation, to meet with the creator of heaven and earth, who can do all things because he has all powers. We are grateful unto you. Individuals have spoken unto you after you have spoken to us. And gracious Lord, beside us at the altar, many are also in the audience that lift up their hands, and you know the details of the request behind them. Lord, many times your prophet in the discernment will say that somebody is standing for someone else. All those is known only by you. Righteous eternal Father, I commit every request into your hand, thou that hearest and answerest prayers, that Lord, you will move in the life of your people. May your spirit move from person to person. May you meet every need, O God. May the power of the enemy be completely destroyed in the life of your sons and daughters. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that you give testimony unto each one from this time, Lord, that it will be said, O God, that after this message of preparation was re-echoed, that something took place, and this request was met, this need was met, and Lord, it turned to testimony. Let it be there, Almighty Father. May the angel of the Lord accomplish his person, Lord, to see to the full manifestation of each of these requests. Let it be there, Father. The faith to hold on, Lord, and the expectation to be positive, may you give to everyone. May the enemy be defeated completely. Thank you, righteous Father. The vessel you have used your servant, we thank you for your grace upon him. As he has found favor to yield himself unto you, we ask you bless him in return. Lord, as you water your children, you water him back. Oh God, we ask that you renew his strength and lift up the horn of his ministry and that of the rest of your servants. Thank you for this abundance of your blessings. We are grateful unto you. Lord, shortly we dismiss. Lord, to come back 2 o'clock for the last service of the day. May you be with us, therefore. Prepare us for the last service and let it be a great blessing unto us. Thank you, righteous Father. Those that came to the altar, may they live with assurance in their heart that your word has said that whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. For we ask this petition to be found thanksgiving in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Prophet, the Lord bless you. We dismiss immediately and hope to meet again by 2 o'clock for the last service of the day. At sitting time, worship service for the afternoon will be 2:30, then 3 o'clock. The minister will take the pulpit. God bless you richly. We shall rise. Hymn number 52.
Amen.